Good morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the freedom to assemble openly as those who worship you, as those who want to learn more about you. We thank you for that privilege. Pray that you bless our time. Pray that your word would come forth clearly. Lord, pray what I speak would be your words, your thoughts, and only what's accurate and true and helpful. Fill me, Lord, with your Spirit, I pray, and I pray for your Spirit to fill those who listen. Give us grace, Lord, to hear, to understand, to obey, to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have a song or a poem that's made a big impact on your life? Most of us, right? It's interesting the impact that a song can have on us. Somehow the words, the music, they come together and they say more than what we can express. They put into our put our inmost, our deepest thoughts and feelings, hopes and aspirations into a way that we couldn't put it. And so it expresses the need of our soul, the cry of our heart. Poetry, music, they're important to us and have been through all the ages of man. To the Jews 3,000 years ago, they were also important. We're going to be looking at a poem, a psalm this morning, a rather famous psalm, if you could call one psalm famous above the others. Actually, it was Spurgeon's favorite psalm, if that means anything to you. He called it the apple tree in the wood. In other words, the wood of just normal trees there, and then this one is the apple tree. He called it, were it the only... There's too much in it for 1,000 pens to write. It is one of those all-comprehending scriptures, which is a Bible in itself. And it alone might suffice for the hymn book of the church. It gets me off the hook, right? Because it's more than what we can express, more than what I could possibly express. So I'm going to do my best up here, but I'm not going to do it justice. Okay. We're going to look this morning at Psalm 103. And if you would turn there, if you have a Bible, I'd like to give a little bit of an introduction. Hebrew poetry is different than ours. We have words that rhyme, and the moon and spoon and June and these kind of things. And Hebrew poetry wasn't built around words that rhymed, and so good thing, because then when you translate it out of Hebrew into English, it wouldn't rhyme anymore and wouldn't mean anything to us. So God saw that coming. Hebrew poetry is built on contrasts. You can call it almost kind of a rhyme, but more of rhyming corresponding thoughts. Okay? And as we read through the Psalm 103, I'd like you to look for things that are compared. And what is that supposed to evoke? What is that comparison supposed to make me think? The love of God is and like we sang in a song, where all the oceans ink and where every stalk a quill, God's love would still be more than that. Comparisons. I want you to look for contrasts as we read through it. I want you to think of figures of speech. I want you to think of the way things are restated, that this is like this. We all know it's like that. And I want you to, as we read through it, I also want you to think about the Lord Jesus Christ and how He fulfills it. They verbalize what we feel but can't put into words. I'm going to try something a little bit different here. Is that seeable out there? Do I need that a little bit bigger? Ben, how you doing? Roy, how you doing? A little bigger? And what I've done, this is called a mechanical layout. I've not changed the Bible here. But I just kind of arranged it on the page differently to bring out some of the parallelisms. And we'll see if this works. And if not, then we can always say that we wished it would have. That was KPNL's safety program motto. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, I should explain. So what we do is we put words that are like, obviously the who's there, they're together. They come underneath the word maybe that it modifies, or the word that it's explaining, or the word that it's related to, or at least one that I've thought that it might when I hurriedly used my computer and did this. So it's just trying to relate things, just trying to show some of the patterns, some of the beautifulness of this thought, this encapsulated poem that we have that survived the test of 3,000 years. That's meant a lot to a lot of men and women. That Spurgeon, again, himself said could be the hymn book of the church. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion? Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle? The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, not in trouble. It is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenants and remember His precepts to do them. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you who serve Him, doing His will. Bless the Lord, all you works of His, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Today we're talking about lots of things. All of me. All of you is what we're talking about today. And it outlines very easily. We have, first of all, that was in case the other didn't work, David. We have personal praise. David praising God for what He has done for David. We have national praise. David praising God for what He has done for the nation Israel and for all of mankind. And then we have universal praise. David exhorting all creation to praise God. And then, of course, that pesky little application thingy. To bless the Lord means to delight His heart by expressing love for Him. It means to praise with affection and gratitude. And our psalm starts and ends with a command. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And I want to have time to talk about, O my soul, and the places in the Bible where it talks about, O my soul. Where it's called self-talk, where you talk to yourself. The words that you say to yourself, what do you say to yourself? Psalm 103 begins and ends with, Bless the Lord, O my soul. As does Psalm 104, actually. Two psalms that are the only two psalms that start and end that way. And had a lot of fun studying this, reading this the last several weeks. One commentator said that they're like clasps. To bless the Lord at the beginning, to bless the Lord at the end. The clasps of the jewelry box and the treasures inside. To bless the Lord, we're pleased when our kids come to us and just thank us and love us without asking for anything. And that's what this psalm does. It's a psalm of praise. I don't need anything. I just want to spend time with you. I want to just praise you. I remember the first time that Iris kind of communicated that sort of thing. Your dad, right? And you're holding your daughter and patting her on the back and she's going to sleep. And all of a sudden I felt something. And it was a little teeny little arm patting me on the back. Oh boy. That's a memory. She's tired of hearing that, of course. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the Spirit. This is, forgive me, the will. We studied in Sunday school class. Is the Holy Spirit a person? Yes, because He has will, He has emotions, and He has, help me out, feelings, will, emotion, and wisdom, knowledge. And here the man's will, David's will, says, Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is what I want you to do. Have you ever had a talk with yourself when you said, Self, this is what you got to do. And that's what David's doing. He's exhorting himself to praise the Lord. It's a command. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then he deepens it. And all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's a command. It's an example. It's a good example. David says, wants us to bless the Lord. And he starts out by telling himself to bless the Lord. You know, our spirit and our soul, I think, at places at least, are differentiated in the Bible. Our soul seems to be the part that has the emotions, and we feel things. We're happy, we're sad, we get up, we get down. That's why David said, Why are you sad, O my soul? Why so distressed within me? That's Psalm 42 and 43. So we get down, we have emotions, but sometimes we need to just step up there, man up, as we currently say, gird your loins, as they said in the Bible, and bless the Lord, O my soul. Do it. And he then includes all that is within me. All that's within me. Not a part of me, not just the outside part. We think, go to church, be good, act good, all these things. But God's not fooled by that, is He? God wants all of us. God wants all of our worship. God made all of us. God deserves all of us. All that is within me, bless His holy name. And just in case we missed it, David says, bless the Lord again. And I want you to, as we go through this also, I want you to just think of David as a conductor, conducting a huge International Philharmonic Orchestra. No disrespect to the Hutchison community. What do they call it? Orchestra? Hutchison Symphony Orchestra? No disrespect. But this is a lot bigger than even the Hutchison Symphony Orchestra. This is the universe. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Another command. Don't forget, soul. Don't forget what God has done for you. As Ron was unknowingly exhorting us this morning, or unknowingly, according to what I was going to say, he knew what he was going to do, we forget. We forget what God has done for us. Nothing more ungrateful than a human being that something has been done for. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. His holy name just means Him, who He is. Bless the Lord. I'm going to go back to the all. All that is within me. God warned about that in Isaiah 29:13. The Lord said, these people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me. And their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. So it's all of us. God wants all of us. And He repeats it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of my benefits. We do forget. We forget to thank Him that we have good bodies, we have good minds, we have senses. We take them too much for granted. And it's just a human thing. We forget. God warned the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 14 times in the book of Deuteronomy. He told them to remember 14 times what He did for them. And 9 times He told them through Moses, He told them, don't forget. What did they do? They forgot. And so do we. And David says here, bless the Lord and forget none of His benefits. The words all is, many words repeated here. The word none, the word all is repeated often in the psalm. Who forget none of His benefits. Well, that's an impossible command right there. I want you to thank the Lord for everything He's done for you, Lowell, starting right now. Well, we couldn't even say them, could we? We couldn't even bring them all to mind. But David, again, sets the example. He starts bringing out some of them, some of the blessings that the Lord has done. A really pretty way this was described was David selects a few of the choicest pearls from the treasury of divine love, threads them on the string of memory, and hangs them on the neck of gratitude. It's a pretty thing. And the first one, forget none of His benefits. Now we'll spend eternity singing His praises. We'll never get done. Like the Irishman said, the Lord Jesus forgave all my sins and He's never going to hear the end of it. And He won't. And He won't. And that's the first one that David brings up. Who pardons all your iniquities? Aren't you glad? He pardons all your iniquities. Not just the ones that you confess. Not just the ones that you... there's no not there. He forgave all our sins. All of our sins have been put away by the blood of Christ. Think about that one. All of my sins every day of my life are put away. He pardons all your sins. Now the psalm is incomplete in some of the things it says because it was written 1,000 years before Christ. Close to. So we have to put Christ in here. It doesn't say how to get the forgiveness. The forgiveness is through the blood of Christ. The forgiveness is through receiving Him as your Savior. But what a glorious thing. And the first benefit, He forgives all your sins. He pardons all your iniquities. Story of the man who had one word on his tombstone, and it was the word, forgiven. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Forgive. Who heals all your diseases? If you look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 29, psalm was written to Israel, and I think that this verse might help us understand Psalm 103. Deuteronomy 32:29. See now that I am He, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. And there is no one who can deliver from my hand. Any healing comes from God. He heals all your diseases that have ever been healed. The doctor can't heal you. The doctor can't bring life back to a corpse. The doctor can only make the conditions better so that the Lord can heal. And there's no guarantee, there's no guarantee of healing. All healing is from God. God can heal anything. In the millennium, He is going to heal everything, but He is under no obligation to heal. And frankly, probably many of us are going to die of something that He won't. And that's okay, if that's His choice. And it's been that way through the ages. Paul wasn't able to heal all his companions. David's own baby son died in spite of the fact that he fasted and prayed for him. But any healing comes from God, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit or from destruction. This is the word, my Redeemer, to pay a price, to buy someone, to pay the price of. And that's the word for kinsman Redeemer in the book of Ruth. Redemption is what we're talking about. And He redeemed us from the pit. David had no idea as he wrote this. Imagine writing this psalm and then putting down your ballpoint pen or whatever it was David used. And then saying, wow, I wrote that? And I think he knew he didn't write it. The Holy Spirit wrote it. But now put yourself in our day, thousands of years later, to see the fulfillment of the way Christ fulfilled all these things. He redeemed us from the pit because He went there for us. And He paid the price for us. Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. You know, our Lord didn't do anything halfway. He doesn't just cleanse. He doesn't just heal. He doesn't just redeem. He crowns us. And David knew something about crowns. David was a king. He knew all about crowns. But this is far more precious than any crown David ever had. Who crowns you, not with gold, not with silver, not just with measly diamonds, but who crowns you, brother, sister, were crowned with loving kindness and compassion. Who satisfies your years with good things. This hymn we sang that none but Christ can satisfy. But He satisfies us. He satisfies our years with good things. So that our youth is renewed like the eagle. Now, there's a lot of discussion among the commentators what this might mean. The eagle does not live forever. I think it's a figure of speech. The eagle is one of the longest living of birds. The eagle is one of the most majestic of birds. And so it molts. It loses its feathers, but not its wings. It can still fly. It renews itself. In this case, not a permanent renewal. But it renews. The Lord satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Not that we're always going to be eternally young. I'm noticing that in myself. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:16 said, "Our outer man is decaying, but our inner man is being renewed day by day." And so it seems like we put off some of these silly physical good things like strength and bones that don't creak and hair and some of these things, and we renew them with spiritual attributes like the fruit of the Spirit. And He gives us wings for a purpose so that we can fly to the throne of God. And that's where we're supposed to go, to fly to the throne of God. So that's just what the Lord did for David. The Lord performs righteous deeds. And so now we're going to talk about more His work in general. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. This is important, and I wish we had 2 hours. Maybe you don't, but I wish we had 2 hours. He made known. This is not a God of David's imagination. This is not David thinks or David hopes or David has a feeling. This is a God who exists, who made Himself known in human history. How much more so did He make Himself known to us through Christ? It's not a feeling. It's a reality. He made known. Let's go to Exodus 33, which we looked at this morning in the breaking of bread. Moses is having this incredible encounter with God. 33:13, Moses said, "Now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you." I want to know what you're like so I can know you. Do you get it? I want to know you personally. Not just your ways, not just the things about you. I want to know you. Who are you? What are you like? First of all, who are you? "Let me know your ways, that I may know you." And here in the Psalm, it says the same thing. That He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. Perhaps all the Israelites were up for, all they could manage, was just they learned about His deeds, the way He redeemed them, the way He saved them, the way He kept providing for them. They knew about what He did, but they didn't. Many of them didn't get to know Him personally, obviously, from what their character was like. They didn't come to know Him. They came to know about Him. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel, and talks about who God is. And this is from Exodus, or a restating of Exodus. "Of all the things that I could say to a bug, what would I say about myself? Probably number one, I'm a person, you're just a bug, and I can squish you." God doesn't talk about just His power. He talks about who He is. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness." He's compassionate. He feels what we feel. David's soul leaps up inside of him. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. It doesn't mean that God never gets angry, because He does. He hates sin. And He hates what sin does to us. And abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us. He will not always be correcting us. He will not always be chastising us, just as long as it's necessary. Because, again, He hates what sin does to us. "Nor will He keep His anger forever." God doesn't hold grudges. We shouldn't either. He doesn't hold grudges. He forgives. When we receive Christ, He forgives truly. Sin comes up in a believer's life, He deals with it. doesn't hold it against us. He moves on. We need to treat each other the same. And then it talks about what God is talking about, what God does, what He doesn't do. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. That's mercy. That's not grace. That's mercy. He has not given us what we deserve. He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. We need to be careful about making sure we get what we deserve in life, because God didn't give us what we deserve. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who fear Him. Take the highest star, and that's how great His loving kindness is. In Arizona, mile high, less air, no city lights. Boy, the stars were amazing. And there's a star out there. It's actually the brightest star. It's called Sirius, Alpha Centauri. That star is the nearest star to our planet. If I would take a gun somehow and shoot a bullet the speed of light around the entire earth, make it curve, and I shot it, it hit me 6 times before I could move out of the way. 6 times in a second, light would go around the earth. That same beam of light would take 4.5 years to get to Alpha Centauri, the nearest star. 4.5 years. It's just zooming out into space, but it's not zooming out of the reach of God's love, because He loves us. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. Toward those who fear Him. This is not universal redemption here. It's not just a kindly grandfather in heaven who is going to put up with everything. It's those who fear Him, those who revere Him, those who trust Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Now that's a fun one. Because no matter how far you keep going east, you never get to the west. It goes around the world. It's eternal. It's higher than the heavens, you see. Now, if He had said, as far as the north is from the south, that wouldn't work. Because when you get up to the North Pole, any step you take is going south. Right? But east and west is a different thing. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. That's how far away they're gone. In Leviticus, they put the sins on the scapegoat, and the scapegoat carried them out in the desert, and they were done. They didn't need to worry about those sins. They were done. That was what God said to do. Our scapegoat, the Lord Jesus Christ, our sin was laid on Him, and He carried it an eternity away. As far as the east is from the west. If it's as far as the east from the west, and I can never get there, I can never fly there, a beam of light can't get there, then I don't need to worry about God remembering them, God bringing them up, God saying they're not quite paid for, they're paid for eternally. So we have this huge, is a stupid word, amazingly large, huge, infinite God. As He is as high above us as what we could hope to understand. And then the next metaphor is, just as a father has compassion on his children. So we go from the highest heaven down to dad. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. So now it's from the highest heaven to a very homely metaphor, just a dad. Dads feel for their kids. Don't get between a dad and his kids. We do not adore a God of stone. This was not like the pagan gods that were apathetic. This is an involved, caring, infinite, but involved, caring, loving Heavenly Father. The Lord has compassion on those who fear Him, for He Himself knows our frame. He knows that we're but dust. I love to watch the young dads with their kids. I love to watch Russ with Noah, or Ben with his kids, and just see that smile on their face, and I get that smile on my face because I know what it's like. They have compassion because they know. This is just a one-year-old. This is just a little boy. And God looks on us like that. He doesn't give us more than we can handle. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field. So infinite God, filling, making the universe, overpowering, transcending the universe. His days are like, but as for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it's no more. Its place acknowledges it no longer. But we are like a flower. Not even a flower of the garden. We're not a flower of the garden. We're a flower of the field. We're the little teeny flower that comes up today and is gone tomorrow. And there's the wind out of the desert that comes, the hot wind out of the desert, and it blows on the flower, and the flower goes, and the flower dies. And its place acknowledges it no longer. As far as you know, you're eternal, and you may think that you're eternal, and kids think they're going to go on forever, but when you don't, when you die, then all the places you went to, they keep on going. All the things that you were a part of, probably they keep on going. But when, the same as a flower, its place acknowledges it no longer. But, praise the Lord for the word, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. Eternity, He thought of me. He wanted me. Eternity, He wants me. I'm going to be with Him. From eternity to eternity, from everlasting to everlasting, His loving kindness is on those who fear Him. And His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember His precepts to do them. Wow. They remember His precepts. They want to remember them. Now David, in the last few verses, he steps up to the podium, as it were, of the universe. And it's like David says, you know what? I can't do this all on my own. This is too much praise. I can't do it. I praise God for what He has done for me. I praise God for what He has done for the nation. This is past me. So David exhorts all of creation to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength. This is the word means angelic heroes. And some think as he's talking about the archangels here. Praise the Lord, archangels. Trumpets, violins, tubas. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word. If one angel were to appear in the middle of this room, we'd probably die from fear, and then we'd run for the exits. And in the Bible, it talks about thousands times ten thousands is the word, their word for infinite. Infinite angels. They're mighty in strength. They perform His word. They obey the voice of His word. Angels, come on, praise God. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts. So now this is maybe not just archangels, this is all of them. You who serve Him, doing His will. Bless the Lord, all you works of His, in all places of His dominion. Sun, moon, stars, planets. Trees, clap your hands. Okay, trees, all right. You guys over here, get going. All right, we got this going. Bless the Lord, all you works of His. That's you, that's me. In all places of His dominion, everywhere, Thou, God, art present there. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, bless the Lord. Oh, yeah, me. Bless the Lord. He wants all of me. He wants all of me. Starry distances, heights, depths, sunrise, sunset, God's all-including kingdom stretches over all and blesses all. The angels, heroes of strength, they praise Him. They listen at the throne for His words so they can obey Him. They bless the Lord. They praise God for what He has done, for who He is. And so can we, and so should we, and so should you. Remember in the old movies where sometimes That doesn't happen anymore because it would be a lawsuit, even in the movie. But somebody would grab, somebody would be going crazy, and somebody else would grab him and slap him upside the head, and the other guy would say, what would they say? Thanks, I needed that. Now it would be, my lawyer will talk to you tomorrow, right? We need that. We need to take charge of our soul and say, bless the Lord, soul. Get with it, soul. Go on, soul. Praise God. So what if it's not a good day? So what if... Does it change God's eternal plan? Does it change the fact that He loves me from everlasting to everlasting? How's your personal worship doing? How is your love life with the Lord? Shall He crown us and we not crown Him? Up, my soul, and cast your crown at His feet, and in lowliest reverence worship Him. We can't do that. But the Holy Spirit can do that through us. Let's not forget any of His benefits. Let's remember the things He has done. Ran out of time to talk about, oh my soul, but there's like 8 of them in the Bible where New Testament, Old Testament, where they say to themselves, oh my soul, do this, do that. I know I need to do this. This is what I should do. Up and cast our crowns at His feet, praising Him, worshiping Him. Father, we worship You this morning. We thank You that You are the eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, kind and caring and loving God who has chosen not only to save us, but to save us by paying the price Yourself. Thank You. Thank You for the opportunity to remember that this morning, of what Christ did for us. Thank You for the opportunity to remember now of who You are, what You've done, of how You've changed history. Lord, stir up our souls to praise You this week, today, this afternoon, to bless You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.